Well, I want to read from the first two chapters of the book of Jonah. And the title is Jonah on the Run. And Jonah, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away. He ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Like the commercial, "Want to get away?" Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All of the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call upon your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Well, then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." Well, they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do?" Jonah said, "I'm a pastor." "Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" And he said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land. But they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows, promises to him. And now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, 'Salvation comes from the Lord.'" And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. This is the word of the Lord, and together we say, thanks be to God. And in a brief prayer and a few words, Lord, grant us your understanding as we seek to apply your word, this word, to our lives. And so as we gather this day and look at this story. This is a prophet by the name of Jonah. We could say that, yes, he is a spokesperson for God. He is a pastor from the nation of Israel. And he, in his calling, in his vocation, he has assignments given to him from the Lord. And the expectations, of course, is that he will carry out those assignments faithfully. But on this particular occasion, we find that Jonah has received the assignment, the project that you could say he was called into God's office. God says, Jonah, I have a plan. And here's my plan, Jonah, and I want you to be my spokesperson. I want you to be in charge of this project. I've made all the arrangements. Your visa is checked. You know, you have all the travel arrangements to Nineveh are set up. And so I want you to go to this great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Because the city of Nineveh, a city within the kingdom of Assyria, and Assyria was located northeast of Jerusalem, and Israel, about 500 miles from where Jonah was living there in the Galilean region. And this was in the years of, let's say, 750 B.C. And it was during this time as well that Assyria had overrun the northern kingdom of Israel and was causing, again, a lot of problems for the city of Jerusalem and the southern kingdom. And so you could see that Jonah was probably, when he heard about where God wanted to send him, his great consternation, his difficulty with this task, you know, and he maybe even said to God, why me? You know, why are you sending, you know, me to do this? Although the prophet's brief declaration to Nineveh, ultimately when he got to Nineveh, brought about great repentance. In fact, in Jonah's message, as we read on, and we'll read on next week in chapters 3 and 4, Nineveh just basically said to them, is that you have 40 days, and then Nineveh will be destroyed. Well, the Ninevites and the leaders of Nineveh, the Assyrians, came up with the solution on their own, is that, you know what, let's take this warning to heart and let's repent and get our lives right with Yahweh, with the God of Jonah. So, well, Jonah decides to go a different direction. He decides to run. And so one of the first points in looking at this in terms of applying it to our own lives is that how many times in our life, in our journeys, have we found ourselves lost? Have we found ourselves lost from God, resisting God's will, looking at our situations, our circumstances, and rather than rolling up our sleeves and engaging in them, finding a way to escape, a way out? Well, maybe more often than we'd like to think. Because as one commentator indicated, this is a story, the book of Jonah is all about sin and God's pursuit. It's about sin and grace. It's about how we as people, the human race, we all fall short of God's glory, and we need God's grace in order to have our lives brought back into relationship with Him and brought back into following God's design for our lives and living out our lives according to His plan. Well, here Jonah is on the run, and very often as we put Jonah as a figure of humanity is that humanity is in a constant race away from what God wants for our lives and what God has designed. And this scripture very clearly has designated as missing the mark, our failure to please God, our failure to carry out God's will. And yet here is Jonah running the other way, going down to Joppa, which is just a little bit south of Tel Aviv in today's community when you go over there, right on the Mediterranean. And so he goes to Joppa. He gets a ticket to go somewhere else, to Tarshish. And so where is Nineveh? Well, Nineveh is to the east. Where is Tarshish? Tarshish is in Spain. So this is where Jonah is headed. And he says, God, I know you made all the arrangements. I have my passport here with me. I know what you expect of me, but I'm not going to go. And so Jonah does this deliberately. And so we find and ask ourselves, how often are we engaged as well, like Jonah, in deliberately failing to follow what God wants us to do? So there's a lot of questions in here as we compare perhaps our own lives, our own situations, our own world with the world of Jonah. And one of the things that we learn right away here is that there are consequences for the disobedience and the failures that we have. And so for Jonah, as he gets on the ship and as they're traveling across the Mediterranean, they're engaged in a huge storm. And the storm, of course, has everyone on the ship concerned, fearful. And interestingly enough, God even uses the casting of lots to identify who's responsible. And Jonah, as we see in the text, must have told them somewhere along the line that he was running away from an assignment that he had been given as a prophet of God. And so, and interestingly enough, in the grace side of this, is that as Jonah has been seeking to escape from God's will and plan and purpose, the storm comes, and even the sailors on board the ship are expressing and demonstrating grace toward Jonah. Refer to him as an innocent man. Lord, forgive us, because, you know, we're going to do what he suggested, and we're going to throw him overboard. Now, maybe like you, I ask the question, well, why didn't he just jump? You know, why is he asking these guys that? Well, you see, the more I get into the story, the more frustrated and angry, you know, I become at Jonah. Have you ever found yourself the victim of someone else's disobedience? Have you ever felt or found yourself the victim or a casualty or in the circumstances and being affected by someone else's failures? And how do we respond? Do we respond graciously? Do we respond with judgment? Do we respond in a self-righteous manner? You see, what Jonah was somewhat responsible for here is what sent him in the opposite direction, what was sending him to Tarshish, was his own self-righteousness, his own judgmentalism. And because, as we will see in next week's scripture, and just to give you a little bit of the rest of the story, is that it says that why did Jonah run when he knew he was running away from the living and loving God, the God of the universe, a God from whom we cannot hide? Why would he think that he could hide? Well, it's revealed in Jonah chapter 4, the last chapter of the book, is that Jonah knew that God was a gracious, compassionate, and forgiving God, and a loving and caring God. And he knew that God would forgive them if they indeed saw the light and began to turn, which is exactly what happened. And so what's interesting about this story of Jonah is that the story of Jonah ends, he's as unhappy at the end of the book as he is at the beginning of the book. Why? Because he's judgmental, he's self-righteous, and he's not gracious. But interestingly enough, in this story, as Jonah is on the run, he's not only on the run to get away from having to carry out this project that he's been given, but he's actually on the run from God himself. And as it turns out, as we see in the story, is that they throw Jonah overboard into the storm, into the midst of the storm and the stormy waters. And as I was reading in Timothy Keller's one writing and book on Jonah, he speaks of the fact that there's love beneath the waves. God's love beneath the waves. So in our lives, as the storms come, and sometimes we are responsible for the storms by our own disobedience, by our own unwillingness to yield and surrender to what God wants us to do. Sometimes we are the victims of others' disobedience, difficulties, challenges. Sometimes it's just life in general. We're not promised a rose garden, are we? And very rarely do we get it. We have challenges and struggles that we're called to face. And yet God, in His partnering with us, God in His love for you and for me, calls us alongside of Himself, and He gives us projects and tasks, discipleship, the opportunity to be alive and involved in what He wants to accomplish, is that He has plans and purposes to prosper us, to grow us, to refine our lives, and mold and shape us into the kinds of men and women and disciples and members of the church that He wants us to be. And all of this is in accord with His good and His perfect plan. But even in the midst of our disobedience, in the times that we find ourselves trying to hide from God, or trying to pretend perhaps that God doesn't know that we're running the opposite direction, is that then we find ourselves perhaps in the middle of a storm, middle of a difficult situation, and just like Jonah, we begin to pray. And in that prayer, we acknowledge God's sovereignty, His care, His rule, and His reign. And God sends a fish, or He sends situations or peoples in our lives that extend His grace to us and bring us out of the difficulty and put us back on dry land again and set us on a track and the path and the way that He would have us travel. And yet, even in the midst of God's compassion, care, provision, and His abundant life that He extends to you and to me, we sometimes still tend to fall in those traps, don't we? Or fall into our old natural behaviors. And as the Apostle Paul uses Romans chapter 7 to describe the fact that, oh, what a sinful man that I am. You know, the things I don't want to do, I do. The things I should be doing, I don't do. You know, and he concludes that, wow, you know, what a mess. You know, I've got to get myself right with God. But the good news is the beginning of Romans chapter 8, where he says, Paul announces, he says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. John 3:16, God so loved the world. And John 3:17, for Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be transformed, changed, molded and shaped according to God's love, care, and compassion. And rather than running from what God plans and purposes for our lives, we run to God. And so what Jonah was in the process of learning, and sometimes storms, difficulties, challenges do come into our life. And this is one of the points that's being made here, is that for Jonah, this storm was sent in order to get his attention. This storm was sent for him to understand that God is not going to let him go. That wherever he goes, God will be there pursuing him, chasing him down, and calling him back to the plan and purposes that God has for him. Do I get an amen? If you've experienced any of that in your own life, where you have found yourself going in directions and God continuously finds ways to pull you back. There's a lot of things that happen in our lives from time to time, especially individuals or situations or circumstances that are no fault of our own. Sometimes they are. And we find ourselves saying to God, "Why me?" Or we perhaps feel sorry for ourselves. And yet what God is communicating to us is that here is something that I want you to be involved in. It's a part of God's plan and His call upon our lives. It's the Romans 8:28 sort of statement that we need to approach our lives day in and day out with, is that all things work together for good. For whose good? Well, for God's good. And so why did God put us here on this earth? Why did God put us in the places in which we live? Why are we here? Well, the answer very firmly and strongly, lovingly, and to give us hope and assurance is the understanding that God is our Creator. He is our Sustainer. He is our Redeemer. He is with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always there with us. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though here we are being thrown overboard in a storm on a sea without a float or a boat, God has His love fetching us, chasing us, pursuing us, taking hold of us beneath the waves that are crashing around us. And yet, does He let go of His plan and His purposes? Nope. He puts us back on the dry land and He says, "Trust me." You see, what we could say with Jonah's saying to the men on the ship and the sailors, "Throw me overboard." Could that be one of Jonah's ways of saying to God, "I'm sorry," repenting, turning around, and Jonah's way of surrendering? "Lord, okay, you know what I need, and I'm willing to surrender and yield to you." When we surrender and yield to the living and loving God, who calls us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we then find ourselves in the center of God's will, and there's no safer and better place for us to be. It isn't necessarily going to be easy, but it's where God wants us. And in carrying out God's will and design, we will experience and know the greatest joy and happiness that God has for us in our lives. And so as we look at next week, see, this week is about Jonah on the run. And do we find ourselves at times on the run? Are there areas of our life that we know that God wants to work in us as well as through us? Are there impurities? Are there areas of unholiness? Are there areas of self-righteousness? Are there areas of prejudice? Are there areas of anger and bitterness and resentment? Are there areas of where we should, and we know that we should be involved, but we refuse to become involved because of whatever barriers are standing in the way? And we need to turn them over to the Lord for Him to have His way in us, to change our perspective, our vision, so that He might use us as instruments of peace, reconciliation, healing, and to carry out His will in order to build a community that is going to prosper and flourish and become all He wants it to be in bringing heaven to earth and the will of heaven to where we live. One of the things I came across this week as we were looking at this and thinking about that phrase of Timothy Keller's in terms of God's grace and love that is beneath the waves. And so often we find in those difficult and stressful times how God is helping to assist and lift us up. And I was saying to John McGuyan before the worship service is that I came across the hymn, How Firm a Foundation. And when I sent out a little description and summary to Carla and John about what the message and the sermon was going to be, John sent back an email and he said, how about if we sing How Firm a Foundation? You know, and I said, you know, John, you know, the Holy Spirit was definitely working there. And when we read the lyrics and sing the lyrics to these songs, I don't know about you, but very often I see the lyrics and I don't really take the time to ponder them because we're moving on to the next section of the song or the next section of the service. But how firm a foundation. Verses 2, 3, and 5. Fear not, the writer of the hymn says, fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, quoting from Scripture, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. When through deep waters I call thee to go, or perhaps you find yourself in, by your own disobedience, when through these deep waters the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with you, thy trouble to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. The soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. In Jonah's situation, again, you know, I imagine him walking into God's celestial office and God says, Jonah, I have a plan. God has a big smile on his face. He said, this is really big. This is really going to be good stuff, Jonah. Oh yeah, boss, what's this all about? Well, you know what? We've got the city of Nineveh, the kingdom of Assyria, and you know how much idolatry and sin and immorality and idol worship, and they don't know me at all. I have a plan, though, that's going to turn them around and set them right, and it'll be good for Israel. And he said, so, Jonah, I want you to be in charge of this project, and I want you to go to Nineveh and bless them by bringing them the good news of my grace, compassion, love, existence, and life. Well, that surely sounds great, boss, but why me? I'm really not interested in going. I don't know that I want this task. But if you say so, I'll go. But as we see again, Jonah goes the other direction, makes the wrong choice, says, I'm not going to go to Nineveh. You know, I don't like those people. You know, they don't like God. I don't like them. I don't want anything to do with them. And so God finds a way in his grace, in his care, and he picks Jonah up and he says, Jonah, I thought this was going to be about the Ninevites, but it's going to be a lot about you as well, changing your heart, changing your life, and helping you to become my servant, my instrument, and know full well the joy and the grace of what it means to be in relationship with me. So, At the Name of Jesus is another hymn that I came across. And the lyrics, two lyrics there, verses 4 and 5, says, name him, Christians, name him at the name of Jesus. With love strong as death, name with awe and wonder, and with bated breath, he is God the Savior, he is Christ the Lord, ever to be worshipped, trusted, and adored. So in your hearts enthrone him. There let him subdue all that is in you that is not holy, and all that is not true. Crown him as your captain. In temptation's hour, let his will enfold you in its light and power. Not only as a people, and perhaps as individuals, I have no idea what may be going on in your life, but this story of Jonah has definitely been a call to me as I look out here several months and I'm thinking about retirement, and people are asking me, well, what are you going to do when you retire? You know, and one of the answers I've thought of and I've given to some of you is that, well, you know, the first thing I'm going to do is nothing. You know, I'm going to take a year off. And I'm reading this, you know, book of Jonah. And so did God call me to nothing? No, that's conviction number one. Let's check that box. So now, you know, my thinking is being changed here dramatically. It's interesting, the more you read Scripture, the more you read these stories and begin to apply them personally, is that, gee whiz, is retirement a time of life when we run away from what God might have for us to do? Or is it running to what God might have us to do? And so as we know, are we people and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ who run from the fire, or is God calling us to run to and become engaged in the difficulties and the challenges of life and loved ones around us? So with God's help, remember, all things are possible. And in our hearts, let us begin each day with enthroning Christ as Lord, so that he may have all that is in us that is not holy and that is not true. And help us, O Lord, to crown you as captain of our hearts. And in those hours of temptation, let his will enfold us and allow its light and power to take hold of us. So, a whale of a tale is this story of Jonah, a story of a man who wants to get away, and yet a man who realizes that God will never let him go. A story for you and for me as well. God will never let us go. He continues to pursue and build and strengthen and increase our faith. And he desires us to be a part of that partnership and that missionary journey. Amen.